Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from the book of 1 Kings. We'll be reading from chapter 17 of 1 Kings, beginning at verse 8 and reading down through verse 16, which is found on page 311 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he, Elijah, he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a cruse. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make for yourself and your son. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 12 of Mark's gospel. We'll be reading from verses 38 through 44, which is found on page 881 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. And in his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes, and to have salutations in the marketplaces, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living." This is the word of the Lord. One of the things I like about being a preacher is that you get to wear cool things like robes, a nice long one like I'm wearing this morning. We Presbyterians usually are not much into clergy attire. We don't go around wearing clergy collars or anything like that during the week. In fact, we Presbyterian clergy are a pretty casual lot. We don't even wear business suits. During the rest of the week, we usually get by with a pair of khakis and a sport shirt. I remember when I first came to the presbytery here, my very first church as a solo pastor, wondering what I should wear and being pleasantly surprised to find that most clergy people here actually simply got by in a pair of casual clothing, a pair of khakis again, and a sport shirt. But on Sundays, we go all out, we wear robes and we wear stoles and we do all we can to look official, or at least try to look official. Sometimes the choir gets on to me a little bit because my stole is usually a little tangled, but we get by. The robe that I wear, of course, was a gift of my first church in Atlanta when I was ordained there. They said, now you're a preacher, you can go buy you a robe. And so I excitedly went up to Cokesbury to pick out a robe. And you could really go all out. They had robes of all kinds, every color, every style, all kinds. And I would like to think that I was being somewhat unpretentious by picking out just a plain black robe. But actually, this baby was quite expensive. It was one of the best robes they had. It has this nice crushed velvet here in the front, and it's made of this wonderful fine material. It was one of the most expensive robes that they had. It cost as much as a Brooks Brothers suit did at the time. My church never did say anything about it, so I guess they were all right with it, but it's quite expensive. But robes. We clergy, Presbyterian clergy, like our robes. Robes, of course, are not for everybody. Not even every preacher wears one. In fact, some of the hippest, coolest, most popular preachers don't wear them at all. They don't even wear suits. They wear things like blue jeans and sport shirts with the shirt tucked out. And I remember watching on internet the other day a preacher who actually did his sermons in a football jersey. And I was thinking, boy, I don't think I could get away with that at Olney Church, at least not on a consistent basis. Maybe being super casual is the new robe. But I'm just an old-fashioned kind of guy. I like a robe, a traditional robe. And so we have our robes. Robes, of course, are about authority. Judges wear robes. I had jury duty a couple of years ago, and remember there was one of the functionaries, one of the court functionaries, who was giving us instructions, and he said, in a few moments, the judge is going to come out, and when he does, I want everyone to stand up. And so sure enough, a few moments later, the judge came out, and he said, all rise, and everyone stood up, and this distinguished-looking gentleman came out, and he was wearing this long black robe. Everyone again stood up, and everyone sat down at his prompting, and it was all very, very official, kind of like what we do here on a Sunday morning. You know, someone sits here in a long robe, and they prompt you when to get up and when to sit down. It's probably not a coincidence that some of our sanctuaries resemble courtrooms. We have a jury box, and we have all the trappings of officialdom, including the robe, because it's about authority and the conveyance of authority. But in our text this morning, Jesus says, beware. Beware of the robes. Beware of those who like to go around wearing long robes. What Jesus actually says, of course, is beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and be greeted in the marketplace and sit in the places of honor at feasts and for a pretense make long prayers. And every time I hear that, I can't help but think, oh, Jesus is actually talking about me. He's talking about people like me. I'm the only one here, of course, with the long robe, me and the choir. They have their robes, too. They have authority. They're part of the authority, I guess. But Jesus is talking about people like me. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, and in attendance were some very important people, very influential people. I didn't have one of the places of honor, but I got to sit at one of the front tables. I was even called on to pray. I remember that's what they said. We will now call the Reverend Randy Barge to give the invocation. And so I got to go up on the podium and look over the assemblage of distinguished guests, and I got to pray. I didn't wear my robe, of course, but it was still an honor to be there in front of everyone. And let's face it, we preachers love that kind of thing. We love it because we live in a world where we don't have a whole lot of status anymore. No one listens to what we say anymore, not even in the church. And so when we have the spotlight, we like it. We enjoy it. But Jesus says, beware. Beware of people in long robes, people like me. My only consolation this morning is that the scribes, the people that Jesus was initially referring to, were more than just religious figures. They were actually more like lawyers and scholars. They were the people who knew the law, the Bible, backwards and forwards. We are reminded that in the first century Judaism, they didn't have a separation between religious concerns and secular concerns like we have today. Everything was one. And so scribes were not just religious leaders, but they were administrators and adjudicators of the law of Moses. They were the functionaries who were responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of the temple system upon which all of Jewish life was based. People looked upon them and admired them, but the only problem was that they presided over and helped to create a system that exploited some of the most vulnerable people in their midst. People like widows. In the Bible, widows and orphans are emblematic of the kinds of people that God is especially concerned about. God is concerned about them because they are especially vulnerable. They have no one else to look after them. And because God is especially concerned about them, it means that everyone else needs to be concerned about them as well. Especially those in positions of influence and authority. But Jesus says, beware. Beware of the scribes. Beware of people wearing long robes. Because instead of looking after the widows, Jesus tells us they devour the houses of widows and make it difficult for them to live. I was reading a few years back about a widow. This was during the financial crisis. Her name was Laura Biggs. For 10 years after her husband's death, she was making mortgage payments on the house that her husband had purchased. Then in the midst of the financial crisis in 2011, she ran into some hard times and she got behind in her mortgage. And the bank threatened to foreclose on her house. This is the same bank that was bailed out by taxpayers' money. But no one offered to bail out Laura Biggs. The bank finally offered her a modification loan in order to help her keep her house. But the modification loan would have added $30,000 onto the original loan, which would have sucked out the equity that she had in the house, and so she didn't know if she wanted to do that or not. But thanks to some good public lawyers that she had working for her, it was discovered that her husband had actually, when he secured the loan, had actually bought credit life and disability insurance along with the loan. So it meant that when he died, the actual loan, the mortgage, would have, for the most part, been paid off. But no one told Laura that, and for 10 years, the bank allowed her to make payments on the mortgage that should have been paid off when her husband died. just some of the ways that we treat some of the most vulnerable people in our midst. But Jesus says, beware. Beware of people in long robes. Beware of people in authority. Beware of functionaries of a system, people who are more interested in the maintenance of an institution which often exploits and preys on those who are the most vulnerable. Jesus, after he says this to his disciples, he sits in the temple and he watches. He's watching people as they come to the treasury and as they make their contributions to the treasury. And right after talking about a widow, guess who happens to come into the treasury courtyard to make a contribution? A widow. We're told that this widow comes to the treasury, and we're not told a whole lot about her. We don't know how old she is. I remember when I was a kid, my mother got us a picture book that depicted this scene, and the picture there had a little elderly lady all dressed in black with a cane going up to the treasury to put her contribution in. But we don't know any details about it. We don't know how old this woman is. You could be a widow at 29 or you could be a widow at 99. We don't know anything for sure. All we know, all we are told, is that this woman places into the treasury coffers all that she had. All she had was a couple of coins. Other people had more money. Other people contributed far more than what she had. But this woman put in all that she had, all that she had to live on. In fact, the actual Greek says she put in her bios, her whole life. She put it all in the treasury. She gave all that she had to support a system that cared nothing about her. Because if it cared about her, they would not have let her put all that she had into the treasury. In fact, they would have been paying her. They would have been contributing to her. They would have made sure that she had what she needed to live on. But this woman put in all that she had to support a scribal class that was more interested in preening and boasting and being seen than they were in taking care of the most vulnerable people in their midst. I was thinking about that this week, people who put in all that they have, people who give a great deal for the functioning of our society, of our nation. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I remember this week hearing about a young soldier who died in Afghanistan. He's only 39 years old, a major. He was also a mayor of some small town in Utah. Married, had 7 children, had his whole life ahead of him, but he was killed in Afghanistan a few days ago. Gave all that he had his whole future ahead of him, but he gave all that he had. It was his 4th deployment, his 2nd deployment there in Afghanistan, but he gave all that he had. Some people don't give anything. Some people like to talk about being super patriots and about loving the country. They don't give anything. When it was their turn, they didn't give anything. They just concentrated on their own career. But this man gave all that he had. Like many of our young men and women stationed abroad, give everything. Many of them give all that they had. And I'm not sure that we are grateful to them or that our country even cares much about them. We just got finished with an election, a campaign, and I don't remember hearing one word about our soldiers, our young men and women, or about the wars that they are fighting. No one said anything about it because we don't really care about our veterans. We don't really care about our men and women in uniform. All we offer them is a vacuous thank you for your service. But this man gave all that he has, and Jesus says, beware. Beware of those who like the spotlight. Beware of those who like the boast. Beware of those who love positions of honor and prestige and privilege and who like to be up front. Beware. Beware of them. And of course, beware of people like me. Beware of preachers who like to wear long robes, especially during stewardship season. This is stewardship season, of course, and it's during this season when many of us preachers, replete with our long robes, like to stand up. You know, we're charged to stand up and remind the congregation about the importance of giving. And I never did like stewardship sermons. In fact, I've never been very good at giving a stewardship sermon. They always sound kind of manipulative to me. I don't knock them because I understand that there are some churches that really need to hear them, some congregations that need to hear good stewardship sermons, but we don't really need that here at Olney. I give thanks for the people at Olney who give, often to go above and beyond to give so that the work of the church might be done. Some of you know that we needed a chairlift, and we had made that known, and people gave in order to have that chairlift. And there's always work that needs to be done in the community, work that needs to be done in the building, work that always needs to be done in doing the mission that God has called us to. And people step up and do it and give. Give not just of their resources, of course, but give of their time, give of their talents, give in so many ways. And so thank you for your giving. But beware of people like me. People in their long robes. Beware of us because we take a passage like the one we have here this morning, the widow mite, and we turn it into a passage about giving. We turn it into a stewardship sermon. We turn it into something that Jesus did not mean for it to be. We lift this lady up as an example of sacrificial giving, and we commend her as an example of giving. And that's not what Jesus intended this text to be about. With the point that Jesus is making in this passage is that no institution, whether it's the church, whether it's a city, whether it's a country, no institution ought to be born on the backs of those who are the most vulnerable. We need to think about that. No institution should be born on the backs of those who are the most vulnerable. Every time about this year, representatives of the congregation gets with me, the pastor, and they want to know, ask questions, how are things going? Are we taking care of you? I always appreciate the question. It's a good question. It's good to look after the pastor. But the Bible reminds us that a godly community, a community that has the Spirit of God coursing through it, is not just concerned about the people who are up front, but is concerned about everyone. We need to be concerned about the welfare of everyone. We need to make sure that everyone has what they need, that everyone feels included, that everyone is prospering. We need to be concerned about everyone. That needs to be true not only in the church, but it needs to be true in our nation too. We need to be concerned about everybody, especially those who are the most vulnerable. That's what stewardship is about. Stewardship is not just about the giving of our money and our resources, but stewardship is about taking care of one another. It's about loving our neighbors. It's about making sure that everyone has what they need. And when we do that, we are living as the kind of community, the kind of people that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be your people. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be mindful of those in our midst who often go unnoticed, those in our midst that are often forgotten, those in our midst that are often preyed upon. Help us to beware of the people that you set before us, people whose hearts are turned to you because they are close to you. You care about them, you love them, and you have called us to care about them and love them as well. Help us to be the community that you have called us to be good stewards of the grace, the love, and the forgiveness that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Freely we have received. Help us to go out and freely give as we seek to be your faithful followers. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.